This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Kaboom! You are with Andrew the Apprentice and Arby
Where's
Miller.
My kaboom? I was promised an earth-shattering kaboom.
Oh, God.
With the Illumium Space Modulator 9000. Never mind.
Of course, this coming Sunday is the big gay out. Big gay day out. Need the day in there. It is, of course, Carnival Day. In case you missed the date.
It's Sunday.
It is this Sunday. That's right.
And the weather looks good.
The weather looks good. Exactly.
Tremendous.
So, of course, we hope to see you all down at the Alexandra Gardens. Remember, it's over the other side of the river this year. Back to the old place. And one of the traditions of Midsummer Carnival is to get your little red dot by participating in the Gay Periodic Survey, which is run by the Burnett Institute, along with others. And but this year, there's something different with the Periodic Survey. And to tell us about that is Associate Professor Mark Stuve. Good evening, Mark.
Thank you for inviting me in.
I still think Chief Investigator
Chief
is...
Chief Investigator.
Come on, better than Associate Professor. Associate Professor is Tweedy. Chief Investigator is trench coats and weapon of some kind of badge.
I would like a badge. I'll have to ask my employer for one in the future.
Then they'll all want one. Yes. Now, on Sunday, you are running Count.
Yes.
Tell us basically what Count is.
Yep. So this year, Count is really an adjunct study to the periodic. And what we're doing with Count nationally, so this is linked into the National Gay Community Periodic Survey, where it will be in all capital cities around the country. For all people who participate in the Gay Community Periodic Survey, we'll be asking them to if they would also like to participate in Count. In addition to completing their Gay Community Periodic Survey, participating in Count simply involves providing us with an oral fluid specimen, basically a saliva specimen, which is very easily collected and, you know, takes about a couple of minutes. And what we're doing there is essentially testing that specimen for HIV. And the premise of that is to look at the prevalence of undiagnosed HIV in the gay community nationally.
Now, I don't know if I'd heard of a saliva test for HIV before.
Yep. The technology's been around for a little while. In fact, the recent FDA-approved home testing kit from OraSure, which is now available in the United States, uses oral fluid as well, where people can test themselves at home.
Right, okay.
Yep.
So it is a valid and accurate testing method.
It is. It's very reliable. It's not licensed for diagnostic purposes in Australia, but we can use it for research purposes.
So is the idea that, you know, you'll do your periodic survey, I think I'm negative, I do the test, and you sort of do this correlation between the people who think they're negative and they're not, the people who think they're negative and they are, people who know they're positive, and
we basically want everyone to participate, whether they know that they're HIV positive or that they believe that they're HIV negative. There are two aims to the study. Is firstly to measure the biological prevalence of HIV in the community. In the past, much of our estimates have been based on self-report HIV status, which is dependent, obviously, on if you've ever or your frequency of testing. A lot of people believe that they're HIV negative and may actually be HIV positive. So going out and measuring the biological prevalence of HIV in the community is really important for understanding the epidemic and the trajectory of the epidemic. But crucially, understanding the prevalence of undiagnosed HIV is probably of almost more importance. We believe through the modelling that we've done both in Australia and internationally that undiagnosed HIV is a major driver of HIV transmissions. When people are diagnosed, largely they will modify their risk behaviours accordingly to protect their partners. But in addition, in the new age of treatment as prevention, it also provides them with timely access to appropriate care and the option of going on treatment. And we know now that effective treatment and suppression of viral load drastically reduces the probability of onward transmission to others.
And as we should remind listeners, the Friday before Christmas, I think it was, the government announced that there was no longer any limitations on your CD4 count as a marker to go on to treatment.
Yep.
So previously, of course, you had to have a CD4 count of below a certain level to access treatment. Nowadays, you can get treatment as soon as you're diagnosed.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's in recognition of the prevention benefit associated with effective treatment.
So, what's the benefit if somebody who knows they're HIV positive? Mm-hmm. What's the benefit of still doing the test?
I guess there's little individual benefit, but it really does help us understand just essentially the prevalence of HIV in the community. We did this study, or a smaller version of this study, in 2008. Mm-hmm. People out there may remember us hanging out in in venues in the middle of winter with a gay community periodic style survey.
Mm-hmm.
And we collected oral fluid specimens from a range of people at social venues, bars and clubs, and sex on premises venues. In that study, that was a completely anonymous study. Essentially, people participated. They didn't provide any of their details. We matched surveys with specimens using a numeric identifier, and that was it. This study is slightly different because we are actually offering people the opportunity to receive their result. So there is still the option for completely anonymous participation where you don't provide any details about yourself at all. But if you would like to know the result of our test on the oral fluid,
mm-hmm.
you can also participate in what we call a confidential participation, where you provide your first name and contact details, mm-hmm. a mobile phone and an email. And 2 to 3 weeks after participation, we'll be in contact with participants who opt to participate in that way, telling them their result. If we actually expect nationally to potentially diagnose, possibly 100 to 150 men around the country through this study, if people's oral fluid specimen does come back positive, we've arranged for same-day appointments at a diagnostic clinic to have serology taken.
Right.
So we really thank the Centre Clinic, Paran Market Clinic, Northside, Melbourne Sexual Health Centre and the Rapid Testing Service Pronto in Fitzroy for their participation.
Yeah. So if the saliva test comes back positive, and that person's not expecting that in particular, they can automatically that day go to one of those clinics and do their rapid tests to reconfirm that, and then go from there.
Yeah, they'll get full serology done. So they'll in the same way that when you turn up to a clinic and get HIV testing, they'll be prioritised and get a prioritised appointment on that on the same day that we've made contact with them to go through the process around appropriate diagnostic testing.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We are talking to Chief Investigator Marcus Dubé from the Burnet Institute about the COUNT study, which is occurring at Midsummer this coming Sunday. We'll be back to chat about this more right after this. You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Dan Savage of Savage Love and the Savage Lovecast, and you are listening to Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only GLBTI community radio station.
And you're listening to Hide and Seek on that station with Andrew the Apprentice and Avi Miller. And we're joined by Mark Stuvey, Chief Investigator for the Count Study, which is happening, well, a key part of it is happening this coming Sunday at Midsummer Carnival. It's a saliva-based HIV test to try and identify some of essentially the prevalence rate amongst the community. Now, Mark, you may not be able to answer this one, but I note that up in New South Wales, the AIDS Council of New South Wales have their rapid testing bus.
Yep.
That they've been sending around to community events, and I think I read it went up to Lismore for the tropical fruits over the weekend, New Year's. how's this different from for example a rapid testing bus?
Yep.
And why may not be a rapid testing bus be at Midsummer?
Well, that's a very good question. firstly, when we first did this study in Melbourne in 2008, we, for a range of reasons, primarily ethical, we steered away from rapid testing.
Okay.
So this is the collection of a specimen that then goes off for laboratory testing. So people will not know their result on the day,
mm-hmm.
Largely because there'd be no greater way of bumming out someone on Midsummer than, early in the afternoon, telling them they're likely to, have HIV.
Mm.
For a range of reasons, it would be inappropriate to actually diagnose someone on the spot.
Mm.
So this is basically collecting the specimen, which then goes off to the laboratory, which, we batch test. You know, we would hope that, maybe 1,000 men participate on Sunday. And they'll be collectively batch tested, and then we'll get the results back in 2 to 3 weeks.
Because usually when you have a test, most diagnosticians, that's a word I love, won't give results over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you don't have a choice because you don't have another place for people to go to get their results. So you are going to have to do calls.
Yes.
Is it a case of if you don't hear from us in 2 to 3 weeks, you're fine?
No, everyone will hear from us.
Okay, so everybody who gives their contact details will get a phone call.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we'd prefer a couple of contact points, mm-hmm. just in case something goes skew if mm-hmm. Someone mm-hmm. loses their phone, that type of thing. But you will everybody who opts to receive their result back will be contacted by the study team. In relation to your other question around a mobile rapid testing service, I was involved, with the Burnett and the Victorian AIDS Council in the implementation of Pronto in Fitzroy. And absolutely, the notion of a mobile testing site is certainly on the agenda as a way of expanding the reach of HIV testing in the community. The fact that we've got that fixed site now in Fitzroy is great in terms of, reducing the barriers to HIV testing. The fact that you can make an appointment online or with your mobile phone and basically walk in, 20 minutes to half an hour later, walk out again without having to return for your test result.
So you said that you were hoping, or you're hoping for 1,000 people on 1,000 men. Is it aimed only at men? Or are you looking at?
It's basically aimed at who is eligible to participate in the gay mm-hmm. community periodic survey.
Okay.
So it's gay men or however you want to identify if you're mm-hmm. a male who has sex with other men,
mm-hmm.
And you're over the age of or 18 years and over,
right.
You're eligible to participate.
What is a statistically valid number? I mean, how many do you have to get in order for this to be good?
In terms of getting an estimate of undiagnosed HIV and a relatively precise estimate,
mm-hmm.
We probably don't need an enormous number of people. 1,000, a couple of thousand nationally would be sufficient. We would like to get as many people participating as possible so that we get accurate breakdown by jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
We think that the HIV prevalence is likely to be different in different places. But also we'll be using the results of the responses that people give on their survey to look at factors that are associated with people who are more likely to be undiagnosed.
Because the periodic survey is a rich resource for researchers. It goes into quite a lot of detail about a whole range of things, unprotected sex, drug use, a whole range of things, social networking, so your social network, those sort of things. So this is an adjunct that can be done and cut in a number of ways that can really assist in developing programs for the future.
Absolutely. So by understanding the characteristics of those who are more likely to have undiagnosed HIV allows us the opportunity to start thinking about the appropriate targeting of messages mm-hmm. to particular people based on the characteristics that we analyse in this study. It also allows us, provides us important data to model the epidemic and the relative contribution of undiagnosed HIV relative to unprotected sex with casual partners. Obviously someone with HIV who has a large number of sexual partners and reports instances of unprotected sex, obviously, that combination of factors is a key driver of transmission. So, in terms of the numbers that we need, when we start breaking it down by the overall number of participants, we expect nationally to be between 5,000 and 5,500. But we break that down by, we expect a prevalence of maybe between 8% and 10% in terms of being HIV positive. And then you break that down further by mm-hmm. the proportion of those who are undiagnosed. We're getting down to numbers, between 100 and 150.
Right.
So we do need a large number of participants to get a good understanding of that relatively small number of people within the community with undiagnosed HIV to understand the factors associated with them.
And you're saying that jurisdiction plays an important role. Where else is the count survey going to be held? I mean, besides, we've obviously got Carnival on Sunday. Where else are you taking this roadshow?
Well, we actually we were in Canberra in November mm-hmm. For their day as a it was a great opportunity to pilot our the types of processes that we're using to collect our specimen and the survey. We'll be obviously in Melbourne during January at midsummer and the other venues that the Gay Community Periodic Survey operates in. We'll be in Sydney in February. And in Perth in February as well. So this is a really busy period for us. The team is, there's a lot of anxiety about the coming month because, we expect, of the 5,500 or so participants we would like to get nationally, we expect, more than half of those to come in the next 6 weeks or so. So there's, I won't say it's downhill skiing after that, but it is an intense period, and we'll be in Brisbane and Adelaide later in the year to coincide with their events.
Yeah, I think people forget outside Melbourne. I think that people inside Melbourne forget that basically all the Pride festivals happen between the 1st of November and the end of February, apart from Brisbane, which is out on its own in June or something. Yep. But it can be a fairly busy period.
Yes.
So Count is happening on Sunday at midsummer.
As part of the Gay Periodic Survey. That's your red dot.
Get your red dot and
get your
spit
tongue
into a cup.
Swabbed. Something. Yes. Do that.
Mark Stuve, thank you, Chief Investigator from the Burnett Institute. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're on Heart and Zeke on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.